This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Two of Massachusetts' largest health insurers are planning to merge, a move that might affect millions of policyholders in the state and change the state's health insurance landscape. Today, Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare and Tufts Health Plan, the state's second and third largest insurers, said they're exploring a union, a move Tufts President James Roosevelt calls, quote, a responsible approach in an environment of unsustainable increases in healthcare costs. To walk us through why now and what effect the merger might have on patients, doctors, and hospitals, we're joined by Stuart Altman. He's professor of national health policy at Brandeis University. Professor Altman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It seems like there's one big healthcare policy story in Massachusetts after the other. And I guess people's top line concern is what effect is any merger between Harvard Pilgrim and Tufts, what effect could it have on policyholders, immediately if this merger goes through?
Well, I think it's a fair question, but I do think we need to take a bigger view on what's happening in Massachusetts and why we're having a story a day. And that is that a combination of the fact that we are, in many respects, the pathfinder of the changing healthcare environment all over the country puts us out front on so many issues.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are among the most expensive states because we have high quality medical care, and we are a leader in so many aspects of it, but it's expensive. So, and we also have the health insurance law, which guarantees that every member of the Commonwealth can get health care insurance. So here we are. The big issue for consumers, of course, is what's this going to have to do with my premiums? And the key to that is really what the healthcare system itself is going to do. Because in spite of the rhetoric, the insurance industry is not the dominant cost driver. We have among the most efficient insurance companies in the United States. The average administrative and margins combined is about 10%,
mm-hmm.
where in the rest of the country it's 15 to 20%.
So the remaining 90% of premiums is going directly to pay for care?
Exactly, and all different kinds of care, whether it's in hospital care or physicians or drugs or so on. So we have that. We also, there is also substantial pressure both by the insurance industry and the federal government and, in fact, providers themselves to become bigger and more integrated, which means having doctors and hospitals and nursing homes and home care agencies either one entity or having at least them work together in some organized way. So the good news of that is that it has the potential to provide more efficient care and actually lower cost care and even higher quality care.
Would that then, I mean, this almost seems like a hope beyond hope, but would that mean then possibly no increase in premiums or even a potential decrease? Or is that just...
Well, that is a hope. You know, we've never seen that. Although we did see it in the early middle 90s where the increases in premiums were practically zero. I would be happy just to see it going up maybe at the normal inflation rate or even a little above. The problem we've seen is that healthcare costs have been growing, you know, twice CPI, what's going on in the rest. So if we can just get it down closer to normal inflation, I think we would have seen a major accomplishment.
Professor Altman, let me ask you, I mean, you mentioned that in the insurance companies themselves are not the cost driver here. That is something that we've heard. We've had Andrew Dreyfus from Blue Cross Blue Shield on the show, and Jim Roosevelt, in fact. They say that, you know, they're not the ones who are creating the bills that the hospitals and doctors are, and they, in fact, feel squeezed by these rising health care costs. So is it such that the folks at Tufts and Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare think that by merging, they could better that will make them better able to negotiate lower rates with hospitals?
Okay, so let's play out what's happening to the insurance industry. They are being squeezed at three levels. First, here in the state of in the Commonwealth, you know, we had the governor last year put very tight restrictions on premium increases, which many of the insurers claimed that actually forced them to lose money. And while the governor backed off a little bit, I think it's fair to say that the state is going to be more aggressive and not allow premium increases at the whim of what the insurance industry wants. Second, the recently passed national health care reform adds substantial costs to private insurance companies in the form of paying extra taxes and extra restrictions. And third, you have the real possibility, and I don't say it's a given, that you can see increased across-state competition from big national insurers coming into Massachusetts. Right now, we are dominated by Blue Cross and the Harvard Pilgrim and Tufts. But we could see United and Aetna and Cigna and companies like that begin to sell insurance in the Commonwealth if the federal government passes certain laws to allow it. And clearly the Republicans, who now dominate the House and are going to be pushing that.
Professor Altman, if I may, for as long as we don't have the sort of the interstate buying and selling of insurance, as you mentioned, if this merger goes through in Massachusetts, we'll essentially have a health insurance field that has two competitors, Blue Cross Blue Shield with its some 3 million policyholders, and whatever the new Tufts and Harvard Pilgrim company will be called. So does that leave we healthcare consumers better or worse off by having a reduced number of major competitors here?
I think the best answer I can give is probably will have little impact. And one of the reasons why, you're going to have the state government, a much more active state government, looking over the shoulders of the insurance industry the way they have never looked over before, which means they're going to, in fact, be very careful not to allow them to increase rates that they consider to be excessive. I don't want to totally go down this road, but I think our private insurance industries are getting closer and closer to look like public utilities, which means they have a vital role to play, but they are going to be subject to review by government. And just like NSTAR or whatever our energy companies look like, or private insurance increasingly are looking like that, both at the state level and the federal level. So my gut feeling actually is that either it will have no impact or it could lead to lower premiums, because the insurance industry is trying to find ways of providing their services for less money. And by consolidating, I would suspect Tufts and Harvard Pilgrim are going to be able to find ways to provide the same services they now provide for less.
Well, and on that note, I mean, I think this is where a lot of, if we look forward to the coming, you know, couple years in terms of how healthcare is paid for in Massachusetts, James Roosevelt at Tufts and Andrew Dreyfus at Blue Cross Blue Shield have both said they are champions of this new payment scheme called global payments. So remind us briefly what global payments are and what impact that might have if the major insurers all in Massachusetts say together to hospitals, this is the only offer we're going to make to you in terms of how we pay for the bills that you send us.
Well, that's in fact the key. You're absolutely right. So here's the issue. If you look over time, we have in this country bounced back and forth between what is called fee-for-service medicine, which is every time you go to the doctor, every time you go to the hospital, every time you buy a drug, you get the provider, the doctor, the hospital, the drug company gets paid. And if they keep us healthy, and therefore we don't go to the doctor or don't go to the hospital, or we keep ourselves healthy, they don't get paid. The problem with that system is that it encourages use. I'm not saying doctors and hospitals want to make us sick, but they may not be working as hard as they could to keep us healthy. And we began an experiment in a very major way in the early 1990s with managed care. But the problem with managed care was that while we went to global payments, or then we called it capitation, we really lacked the data to understand what we were doing, and we really lacked the ability to measure quality. And so patients and physicians rebelled and said all they're doing is lowering costs and lowering the quality of care. The hope in this new environment is as we move away from fee-for-service, which is very inflationary, and we move back to, we now call it global payments, which is essentially the group, not the individual doctor or the individual hospital, but the collection of these doctors and hospitals, will get a payment per person on average. and they will then try to develop mechanisms to provide the care we need for less, and to use care which works and to not use care which doesn't work. And the difference between today in 2011 and what it was in 1992 is we can also measure to make sure that we as patients are getting decent quality care. Because if the way they reduce their cost is to deny us needed services, then it will show up in these quality measures. And we have a very good example of that with Blue Cross. They have something called the alternative cost contract, alternative quality contract, I'm sorry. And it is working. We're seeing both lower expenses in this group, and we're seeing higher quality. So that's the hope, and that we move to these global payments. We get groups working in bigger conjunction, and we can both lower costs and if not increase quality, at least keep it as where we are.
And in fact, just last week, I believe, Andrew Dreyfus, the head of Blue Cross Blue Shield, sent a letter to some 400 hospitals saying that they need to adopt global payments because if they insist on fee-for-service contracts, they're going to get reduced payments from Blue Cross anyway. But Stuart Altman, if you could just stand by for a moment, I want to introduce another voice into this conversation briefly. He is Tim Jens. He's Executive Vice President of the Massachusetts Hospital Association. Mr. Jens, welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, I'm glad to join you.
So if I could just get your sort of top-line assessment as to what the Tufts and Harvard Pilgrim healthcare proposed merger, how do Massachusetts hospitals look upon this news?
Well, we're just finding out about it, and it raises a variety of interesting and important policy questions. We don't know enough right now to make a final judgment, so we're going to reserve judgment moment and expect to have a process that's going to answer these questions and determine whether ultimately this consolidation leads to a healthy, more balanced competition in which those who provide care and those who receive care and those who pay for care are benefited, or to less competition and all that that brings to the system, and none of it is really too good, potentially raising premiums, lowering payments for cost, and destabilizing the system, the healthcare system.
And as you mentioned, there is a process through which this proposal has to go through. It has to be approved by state officials, including Attorney General Martha Coakley. But if it does actually go through, as we were just discussing with Professor Stuart Altman, hospitals in Massachusetts may be looking at a future where the two biggest health insurers are insisting that the hospitals accept global payments. What do you make of that?
Well, let me just, in answering that, let me first step back a little to share the perspective that Stuart had in terms of what's going on here. And you talked earlier in this conversation about cost drivers. And there isn't a single cost driver. And it is true that of the premium dollar, and that's very important to consumers and as well as to patients, 90% of it goes to medical costs. And I think most folks would say, well, that's great. It'd be better if it was 95%, assuming that 95% is spent wisely and efficiently. That 10% is still about $2 billion a year in Massachusetts. So that is a lot of cost. Some of it's legitimate. But suppose we eliminated half of that and saved $1 billion.
So you're looking for efficiencies in the health, for the insurers.
Right now, there are probably $5 billion just involved in billing collections. Suppose we saved $1 billion a year. So there are a lot of reasons why healthcare costs what it does cost, including the fact that Massachusetts has arguably the best benefits for patients and beneficiaries in the country. But anyway, so having said that, so there are a variety of reasons. And I think right now that those, whether it be physicians or nurses or doctors, we're all looking to actually integrate care, to be more efficient in providing more quality care. And that's the promise of the future under this a global system, if we do it right. We want to get away from the domination of the fee-for-service system that Stuart described. But if we don't do it right, there are problems, and it's probably not right for every hospital, every physician. In the 1990s, we did run into problems with that system.
And Mr. Jens, if I might just throw one last question to you. Do you, in terms of just the straight negotiations that the insurers go through with the hospitals, could a Tufts and Harvard Pilgrim union make them a much more powerful negotiator sitting across from your hospitals?
Well, there are about 116 hospitals in the state. If we're coming to a place in Massachusetts where we only have two insurers, that does raise serious concerns. The system that Stuart described, this global system, this integrated system, calls for those who provide care to take on responsibility, as they do now, not only for providing care, but also to take on more risk, responsibility for the financing of that care. And if they are not able to be in a situation to be at the negotiation table and be fair and have a balanced negotiation, then again, that could ultimately destabilize the healthcare delivery system. And again, that's neither good for those who provide care and those who pay for care or those who receive care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a concern.
And Professor Stuart Altman, we've just got about a minute left here. If I could throw the last question to you. Are we looking at a future where, because of the federal mandate regarding health care, because of Massachusetts' own universal health care law, that these consolidations are inevitable and that's the only way to really handle all these new ideas and proposals to control costs and yet get health care to everyone who deserves it, which is everybody?
Yes, I do believe that. You know, there are people who believe that atomistic competition is the way, but the reality is in a complicated system like healthcare, both on the provider side and on the insurer side, bigness has advantages, but it needs to be moderated because with bigness becomes power. And I share the views of the Massachusetts Hospital Association. I think they're absolutely right. We need to move away from fee-for-service, but we need to do it in a way that's responsible. And sure, if insurance companies can provide care, they're part of the bargain for less than 10%. I think we're all better off. I do think one needs to put in context that the insurance companies in Massachusetts are significantly more efficient than other insurance companies. But still, I think the comment is appropriate. And I am assuming that one of the reasons why they're doing this is to take cost out of the system.
Stuart,
so we are the flagship, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And yes, I think this is inevitable.
Always recreating or redrawing the healthcare map right here in Massachusetts. Stuart Altman, Professor of National Health Policy at Brandeis University. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And Tim Jens, Executive Vice President of the Massachusetts Hospital Association. Thank you as well.
Thank you.
Well, up next, trolling Facebook for breast milk. In today's Talker, we explore some of the options available for mothers who have trouble breastfeeding. Have you used social media to find breast milk? Or what about the services of a breast milk bank? The oldest one in the country is right here in Massachusetts. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.